minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Green Bay Packers fans? Welcome back to another edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, the mini camp is upon us edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Jacob Morley. You can find me on Twitter at Jacob Morley, and I'm joined today, as always, by my co-host, Ross Uglum. Find him on Twitter at Ross Uglum. And Ross, today, one of the most important activities in the calendar year for any football team across the United States of America is taking place. Off-season training activities, mini camp edition. We're going to have some grown men running around in shorts and maybe shells. Probably not shells. Mostly shorts. But Ross, just on a scale of 1 to 10, I just want to figure out how I've already been facetious enough about mini camp, so I want to frame it a different way, and I want maybe to put some of that on your shoulders. On a scale of 1 to 10, how important is this, really? How important is mini camp?
Five, six, you know. I mean, this year, it's interesting. Two first-round picks to integrate into the defense, and two top 125 picks to integrate into the offense that – lost, you know, their number one and number two target in Scantling and Adams. So it's a big deal, but it's not camp. It's not, you know, pads. It's not a lot of things. You know, it's obviously in June also, you know, no real football being played until September. But yeah, it's important. And oftentimes too, the teams that do the best are the teams that are closest. And so this is, I know people are going to, you know, think that this is, I don't know, not a big deal, but like the team building stuff is important.
Have you seen the new Top Gun?
I haven't yet. No, and no spoilers. But like,
it's just, never mind, man. This is offense and defense football at the same time. You'll get that reference when you see it. Tom Cruise has got to build a team, baby. He's got to build the team. Oh, that's what's going on here. You brought me in here to build a team. That's what I'm doing. Okay. That's what's going on. And to talk about mini camp too, what I was going to say is, like, it's fun. I think it's just fun for us as fans, because this is kind of fluff season too, right? Like, this is where guys come in the best shape of their life. And, you know, they're, I ran a 4.45 coming out of college, but now I run a 4.38 because I've been in 2 years of it. You know, I mean, you hear stuff like that, and, you know, 9 times out of 10, it doesn't really mean anything, but there is enough cases of guys coming in the best shape of their life, making that second year or third year jump, where you kind of start getting those first clues now. Like, mini camp is kind of usually where that starts, where it's like, hey, like, Tyler Davis is a good example of this, right? He's the guy that kind of has come out of nowhere and literally has done nothing other than the coaches really talk about how much they like him. This would be a good time for him to come look really good for, you know, the reporters and for the practices open to the media. Like, hey, I kind of see what they're talking about with this guy. He moves a little bit different than maybe some of the other tight ends in the room. So I think for me, like, that's kind of what mini camp is. And when you talk about, like, what is fun, I think we need to talk about, like, what are we most looking forward to seeing this week? Like, what kind of fun stuff do we want to see, read about, hear about? Because ultimately, that's all that does really matter. You know, the negative stuff is not necessarily nothing, but you kind of take it in the same vein as the positive stuff, and then we just kind of ignore it because it's negative. Because it probably doesn't matter that much. Like, hey, so-and-so dropped a pass. So-and-so missed a block. So-and-so missed a throw. Who cares? You know, we don't really necessarily know exactly what they're working on, exactly what the coaches are asking them to do. So that's kind of part of it as well. And minicamp is also a time that for some of these guys, the coaches are asking them to do something different, especially these rookies. Like, hey, we want you actually to start, you know, in this type of stance, or we want you to, you know, run your route this way, or we want you to get out of your stance this way. We want you to use your hand. I mean, so there's a bunch of different things playing here. But Ross, let's start on just the offensive side of the ball. You kind of talked about it, you know, integrating two top 125 wide receivers specifically into this offense, and they're going to be expected to contribute early. And so as this year's mini camp rolls on, what are your expectations, I guess, on this offense, kind of touching base on integrating new types of players into it? What really do you expect to see, or what you hope to see?
Yeah, I don't know, you know, what I expect to see in camp, but it's got to be, you know, those guys just keeping their heads above water. And I think Journal Sentinel did a good job of getting into that, or maybe it was Press Gazette. But either way, they did a good job of just getting into how much is really our friend Justice Mosqueda refers to it as taking in information through a fire hose. And I think that's what's happening right now. You know, Watson, and this is going to make me sound like a homer, but Watson participated in a much more pro-style offense at North Dakota State than Dubs did at Nevada, 100%. So part of the verbiage is maybe going to be a little bit easier for Watson. Part of that transition is maybe going to be a little bit easier for Watson. Nevada was a wide open, very college style air raid type offense with a lot of 10 personnel. It's just not the kind of stuff that's going to get run, but they are going to both have to understand where they're supposed to be, because the people talk about, and obviously, especially with Watson, people talk about, you know, drop issues and how that might affect trust issues with Rodgers. I'm sure he's not going to like drops, but I can good and gosh darn guarantee you he's not going to like you not being in the right spot. That's going to kill his confidence in you, maybe more than anything, is not being in the right spot, not being where you're supposed to be.
Well, the thing, you know, people always talk about Rodgers and the drops, and you know, if you drop the ball, he's not going to throw it to you. And I think you hit the nail on the head right there, because nobody dropped more critical passes in the last 3 years than MVS for this team.
Or by the way, Jordy Nelson in his first three years in the league, Devonta Adams in his first 2 years in the league. Rodgers has worked through drop issues with like every key contributor in Packers history.
Yet we see a guy, you know, like Josiah DeGuara has kind of become the whipping boy for that reason. You know, like the guy that you, because we saw him get in the wrong spot. I forget what game it was. I forget what it was at all. But all I remember is Rodgers just absolutely ripping 81 a new one for lining up in the wrong spot. And you don't ever see him do that for a guy that drops the ball. Like, you'll hear him talk about it. Like with MVS is the example I bring up, because he's the guy that he would go right back to, because he's like, I believe in him. And I think that's because of what he has between the ears. Like, MVS is a smart football player. That's why he was able to get on the field early, too. People forget how good MVS was early in his career. He was a 500-yard receiver his rookie year. So he's a guy that he had it between the ears and earned that trust with Rodgers. So, like, it can happen. And I think that's kind of what you are looking for here, as you talk about guys keeping their heads above water. But, like, that's harder to do with 12 as your quarterback, because he – is going to demand so much of those young guys right away.
Absolutely.
Right. And as he should. You know, he gets a bad reputation for that. And I think that's that's so dumb. Every great quarterback in the NFL at these camps, they are holding these guys to an incredibly high standard. So Rodgers is going to be that with these guys too. Lazard looks like he's going to be there. I'm not sure what's all going on with that. But Lazard is a guy that will be a great influence for these younger guys. Same with Randall Cobb, like two guys that are just pros and will absolutely come in and do it the right way immediately. And it'll show these guys kind of like, hey, this is how you be a pro. I think that's going to be underrated. That's going to be important for these younger guys to be around some of the veterans in that capacity. But other than that, Ross, can we really, you know, it's fun to look at the skill position type guys. And I think it's worth noting too, what I'm going to be really interested in is, you know, where's Kylin Hill at with his rehab? Where's Big Bob at with it? You know, like, let's get some videos of those guys hop around
on the ACL squad.
Yeah. I want to see where those guys are at. I want to hear where those guys are at. And this might actually be where we get a little bit of an update. I want to see where Bakhtiari's at, because I'll tell you what, Ross, I'm not panicked about it, but I don't necessarily feel great about it either. It's not good. It's not a good thing that he's almost 16 months removed from that ACL or whatever, the knee, and he's still not just, he's still with the rehab group with guys that ripped their knee up 6 months ago.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I want some clarity, and I want some anxiety lifted on that front. I would like nothing more to see old 69 trot out there and kind of be working with, you know, at a limited capacity, I would imagine, but with some of the team stuff. That would be a sight for sore eyes for this Packers team to see him back out there. So that's important. But, you know, the offensive line in general at these types of things, is there really anything that you can take from this? Is there anything worth noting and watching with some of these guys, especially the young guys that they have now?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I think is really worth paying attention to is alignments. If we're talking about, where they're lining up Dubs, where they're lining up Watson, and then obviously certainly where they're lining up, Zach Tom. I think that's super, super interesting. And, where they're working in Sean Ryan. I think that's very, very interesting. And so while that might not be, the be all end all, or we might not be locked into those things come even preseason or certainly come the regular season, I think it's going to be interesting to at least see, where these guys have thoughts, I guess, where these guys are visualized in some way as to where they might be.
Right, because, speaking of Bakhtiari, he was very similar to Zach Tom when he came in, and we've mentioned it.
Absolutely, he was.
They put him at right tackle, and they said, yeah, he's probably a center, but hey, let's kick him out there and see how he does. And then he never left. And in fact, the only movement he went was to the left. And so it will be interesting. It's like, yeah, let's just see if Zach Tom can play tackle. And if he can't, then whatever. We think we have a really good, backup interior offensive lineman or a starter, so that will be interesting. But I don't think, I don't think you can take much from the actual play on the field with those big guys, because there's not going to be a lot of banging going on with those guys. There's just going to be a lot of alignment. It's going to be a lot of, vertical pass set or, quick pay. Like, I mean, just little things like that. And the Packers do teach that stuff a little bit different. So there'll be a little bit of an acclimation period for these young offensive linemen. But let's move to the defensive side of the ball, because, they have two first round picks that they added from the same team. They got that Georgia defense basically taking shape in Green Bay right now. What are some things there? And I think you can kind of say, front seven type guys, especially like with Wyatt, I'm not sure you're going to be able to take much from what he does at minicamp, other than I promise you people are going to be impressed with the way he moves, because he's an impressive athlete. And like, that's going to pop out right away. Probably the same with Quay. I think you can maybe take a little bit more from Quay, because he'll probably be doing a little bit more stuff in coverage or, I don't know. But as far as defensively with these young guys, especially because mini camp does kind of gear towards the youngsters, the guys that you're hoping to make a second or third year jump. So here are some guys and some positional battles that you're looking forward to the most on that side of the ball.
Yeah, it is tough, right? I mean, you almost have to steer your way towards off the ball players, because what are you going to learn? Very little, want to see Quay Walker, be fluid. Want to see if Tariq Carpenter has any chance at all of being a defender and not just a special teamer. And that's what's interesting, to me. And hey, you do want to see the defensive alignments as well. Do they work in Shamar John Charles at slot corner? Where does Keyshawn Nixon work in when they roll out there in base? Is the the back, what is it, seven, is the back seven going to be solidly what everyone thinks it is, which is Stokes, Sewell, Jaw, Quay, Campbell, Amos, Savage? Does Amos or does Savage move around? We've been begging for that for a while. That's what I'm going to be maybe interested in OTAs. Again, when we're talking about what can we learn from a physicality standpoint, I don't know. I don't know how much we can learn.
Yeah, the Packers have just creatures roaming around on defense, and it's going to look that way. Like, every single guy they're trotting out there, it seems like, is a freak athlete, and they should look that way. They should look fast. They should look fluid on defense. I think it's going to be fascinating to watch these corners. I mean, quite frankly, if I was a betting man, I would say these corners are going to absolutely gobble up these young receivers early, and as they should. because I think they're going to do that to a lot of good NFL ready corners throughout the season. So I think that'll be a really interesting thing to watch as well. Like how, you know, Christian Watson versus Jaire Alexander, like how's he looking? How are we doing, buddy? You know, I mean, as much as we like to cape for, you know, North Dakota State being a good program, because it is, and there are FCS schools that have good players because they do. They don't have Jaire Alexander. And that's not just Christian Watson. That's any receiver coming to the NFL. Like, what's up, dude? Welcome to the NFL. Here's 23. Oh, you didn't like what you got from him? Wait, here's 21. Oh, yeah, he's pretty good too. Okay, here's 29. Like, I mean, where are you going to be getting your wins as a young corner or as a young wide receiver on this team? So I think that'll be fascinating to watch, just to see, like you said, can these guys keep their head above water? Because, you know, in 7-on-7 drills, where these guys, you know, they can't, you know, it's not real football. It is athlete versus athlete, technician versus technician. These corners are going to be way ahead, as they should. And so I think that'll be interesting. I think it'll be important not to freak out when Dubs, Watson aren't getting separation against legit all pro level corners across the board. So that'll be fun. I think that'll be fun just from a perspective of watching Twitter burn. If Watson drops another pass or can't get open versus Jaire Alexander, like why the Packers are actually doomed this season and why they're never why they're not going to win a game. So that's always fun as well. Mini camp overreactions. But I mean, other than that, Ross, like, there's not much to talk about on this episode. Like I'm sitting here and it's like, man, we're at almost 20 minutes. And like, I got nothing else because truthfully, this stuff has all been talked about. Like this is what's fun about it is even though minicamp probably isn't that big of a deal, it is the start of the season in a way. It is kind of where we start getting these guys acclimated. We start getting familiar with these younger players. And we've been talking about them now since the draft. And without really seeing much of them other than a lot of what we're going to see again this week, truthfully. But it's more of it. It's more of a sample size. Do these guys look like they're getting better? Do they look like they're keeping their head above water? Or, you know, what are we get from it? You know, next week we'll be able to talk about them again with a week of minicamp practice under their belt. And then we got kind of the long wait again until training camp. So, Ross, any closing thoughts on minicamp?
Enjoy it, you know. It's a little tiny appetizer before the full course meal. Hopefully it wets your football whistle a little bit. But as Jake has mentioned like a number of times, just don't take everything with a grain of salt. Unless Christian Watson does something cool, then I was right.
Unless Christian Watson looks awesome, then yeah, he's going to be an all pro this year and you guys can, and all the doubters can just absolutely cram it. So, other than that, yeah, it's not a big deal. So cool. All right, guys. Well, that's all we got. Ross and I will be back again next Monday. Talking about, like I said, just probably wrapping up mini camp and talking about who looked good, who we can overreact on, who we shouldn't overreact on, and all that good stuff. So thank you guys for listening. Make sure you're checking us out on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast from. Give us a 5-star review if you're enjoying what you're hearing. It's slow times this off season, so we really appreciate those things. We appreciate you guys still listening. And until next time, go Pack, go.